Before we get into this week's episode, Daddy Gang, you know the drill. No dad left behind, okay? And this is the last week that I'm going to basically be telling you this, because next week I am officially only going to be found on Spotify. Daddy Gang, start listening to Call Her Daddy and your other favorite podcast, but Call Her Daddy only on Spotify. It's free. You just simply download the free Spotify app. You sign up for free and you search Call Her Daddy, press follow. And from now on out, Call Her Daddy only on Spotify starting next week on Wednesday, July 21st.
What is up, Daddy Gang? It is your founding father, Alex Cooper, with Call Her Daddy.
Thank God we're fucking back, baby. What the fuck is up, Daddy Gang? It is your founding father, back at it, Evan, for another episode of Call Her Daddy. You know, it sounds almost like a broken record at this point, but once again, I am sitting here before all of you happy to be a fucking live, okay? I don't know what I did. I don't know what kind of fucking karma I fucked with, but somebody's got to hit out for me, okay? Daddy Gang, the plan was to start this episode in Chicago. Chicago, I love you, but that's not the case and that's not reality. I'm about to take you back to last Tuesday night. You guys remember, Lauren and I had just uploaded the Hamptons episode, and the two of us that Tuesday were about to sit down and watch a movie. And then a storm started raging. Thunder, lightning, pouring rain, wind. And then the power went out, which meant the Wi-Fi went out, which then meant we had absolutely no cell service because our house was nowhere near town. So in order for us to have service on that trip, we had to either be in our home on Wi-Fi or, when we left, wait 15 minutes to get service once we hit town. So on that stormy Tuesday night, we had no car. We couldn't call an Uber. We were trapped in our home, alone, in the pitch black, in a house completely made of windows with no curtains, surrounded by woods and four other houses, and unable to contact anyone. And we were freaking the fuck out.
No. No. No.
No. They don't give us light bulbs?
Wait, what?
Tools required. Screwdriver.
Dude, there's no way.
Do you think maybe there's a flashlight in the basement?
I don't know. I'm not going down there. I'm about to record. Come over here. Let's just fucking record. Dude, I'm freaking the fuck out.
I hate this. I want to leave.
Sit down. Oh, hold on. Hold on.
Okay. Hello? Hi? How do I even explain this?
We just lost fucking power.
Yeah, but the issue, okay, we've gone through fucking shit where we haven't had power. We have no fucking service. We are in the middle of the Hamptons, no service, no power.
No car.
Yeah, no car. And we have no way to fucking communicate with anyone right now. And
our house is creepy as fuck.
Yeah.
It's giant windows everywhere and they... No curtains.
Well, we said last week I told you guys, yay, like there's guys across and they can see into our house. Now it's turned creepy. We never met these men and there was like a bunch of younger dudes. Now there's like older dudes. I'm assuming it was like one guy. There was like one younger. I don't even know the situation. There's men across from us. There's four houses surrounding our house right now. And it is getting pitch black right now. Like this started right when it was getting dark.
We have one candle in this lantern that
we
they
have
didn't-
no fucking food also.
Cool.
So Lauren and I are just sitting here freaking the fuck out because
we're off the grid.
Yeah.
This is literally how horror movies start.
I know. Thank you.
Stop. Thunderstorms.
Stop.
Power goes out.
And I want it like
no cell service.
The neighbors are just fucking looking in at us.
Yeah. I would not care if we just lost power.
And look at our phones.
Yeah.
And I was like texting my boyfriend like, hey, yeah. Everything's good. Or like, hey, like, can you get us?
Answer the door.
I'm not going to fucking answer. Dude, don't. I don't think we should answer.
Here. You go.
Dude, Lauren, only crack the door. Crack the door. Just crack it and just be like, hello.
There's a man standing.
Okay, close the fucking door. Okay,
dude, close the door.
What the fuck?
Dude, what?
Is he leaving? He's gone?
Wait, he's still walking.
Should we like?
I don't. What the fuck?
I wish we had curtains.
What did he just say?
He was like, hi, I'm your neighbor across the street.
That's
like,
not the neighbors from the house, though.
No, this is across the street. We've never met these neighbors.
Those are the people with the fucking motorcycle.
We have no recall.
There have been men across the street that we kind. It's like they're
doing just circles.
There are men that we've seen, but their whole entire house is covered by like trees. And he was like,
I just wanted to check. Like, did you guys lose power? Like, are you okay?
What do you mean? Did you lose power? You can see into our fucking house.
There's not a single light on.
You can literally see in our house.
That was weird.
No, that's fucking weird. It's like he like
what? What do we like?
It's like he wanted to come over here because he's like
confirming that there are two girls alone here.
Dude, you should have been like, I feel like we should have said something like stupid, like, oh, like, hold on, like, I think my boyfriend is calling. Like, oh. We should have like acted like a guy was here or something.
I don't want to stay here tonight.
Right, but like, what are we gonna do? Walk out? Like, what? How do we walk out? Like, we walk outside.
Hi, update. Lauren and I just, we've been sitting, well, how long ago? Fucking 30 minutes.
Maybe, yeah.
Lauren and I decided
to barricade the house. Prepare for battle.
Dude. We are officially
losing it.
Yeah. it's not, it's like funny, but it's, no, it's not funny, but it's funny. Do you know when you're like deliriously, like we can't, now we're starting to laugh.
It's better. It's like a defense mechanism. It's better to laugh about our death than cry about our impending death.
Yes. So we took bed sheets
from my bed because we know that we're going to bunker down in your room. So right. We don't need my room anymore.
And we just took duct tape and now we've completely hung up all the sheets over the windows, which is making me feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
Like I feel a little less like we're getting washed.
Yeah, same. You know what I don't like?
What?
That you have a sliding door. Glass door. Like they could
I think you're...
Yeah, my room does too. All the rooms do. They could just like knock that open. Like
who?
Bust.
I don't know what you say. The man.
Yeah.
I think we just get in bed and cuddle up.
Maybe we can dose ourselves out with NyQuil to sleep. But then we won't be alert if they come. We need to be alert.
I'd rather be fucking out. Good night.
Good morning. Alex peed the bed.
Stop! Stop! I did. I was going to say I did not. I did. Good morning, Daddy Gang.
She woke me up and she was like, Lauren. No, we were woken up at 2 a.m. because the power came back on at 2 a.m. So all the lights like jolted us awake. And you're like, Lauren. And I'm like, what? And you're like, no. I'm sleeping on a towel. A hand towel. Why a hand towel?
I didn't. I woke up at 2 a.m. and I'm laying there with
No, you were already on the towel at 2 a.m. So you sneaky got on the milk before that and tried to cover the evidence.
I want to be first before I tell the story. I want to be very clear. I don't just like pee the bed.
It's only like every month.
No. I do not. The amount of memes are like Alex pees the bed. I don't pee the bed.
That often.
I was.
Stop.
I was sleeping and I kept hearing noises. Stop. I was hearing noises and I kept getting scared.
And you kept letting out little dribbles. Or is it one big scream?
I kept like in my sleep having night terrors. You know how like you think a man is there? And because of obviously how fucking scared we were, I was so fucking terrified. I thought I kept hearing noises. And in my dreams, I was then literally having nightmares about our actual situation. And then I peed myself. And then I peed myself and I woke up from literally peeing in the bed with Lauren and in the middle of peeing, I realized and I woke up even more scared. And then I didn't know what to do. So I walked into the bathroom and I've used all the towels. It's the end of our trip. So the only thing left was a hand towel. And I walked over to my side of the bed. I didn't know what else to do. So I just,
you also just didn't even bother to put on clean underwear. And you woke up and you flung off the blanket.
I was scared.
And you're ass naked on top of a towel.
I was a little fucking
got really comfy cozy.
I was discombobulated. I did like rip off.
Okay, we're leaving the Hamptons.
We're leaving.
We left our mark here. You left your mark.
I did. I'm literally like ready to get like fined like $50. Like they're gonna be like, you literally soiled into our mattress. I peed my pants.
Goodbye, Hamptons.
And we're leaving.
Bye.
We are packing up. The next time you guys are gonna hear from us, I will have showered. I will be a new woman.
Fresh underwear and a diaper to be safe.
And we're leaving the Hamptons. We destroyed the Hamptons. And then the last night, it destroyed us. Goodbye, New York. I love you, but I need a fucking break.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, 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 baby. We're in fucking Chicago. It feels great. I feel better. I like the vibe a little bit more.
Actually, I haven't peed here yet.
Yeah, no, fuck off. I actually really like the vibe. I think being in a hotel is making me feel safe. We have a doorman. Obviously, it's a hotel. And we're lifted
off. If you pee, they can change the sheets
the next
day.
We're lifted off the Lauren, I'm cutting off your microphone. Leave me alone. This is my podcast. I am looking good today. I'm looking stunning. I put some
fresh underwear on.
We're in Chicago, and it's time to get drunk tonight. We are going to
Nobu, 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 Nobu,
Nobu. Also,
what song is that?
I don't think that is.
I think it is.
I don't think there's anything with Nobu.
Yeah, it is.
Anyways, it's good because we're staying at Nobu and we're going to dinner at Nobu. So maximum opportunity to get really fucked up.
We only have to take the elevator like 3 flights down.
It's going
to
be perfect. So we're going to get ready for that soon. And we will check back in hopefully tomorrow morning. We'll have lots.
Hopefully I get a shocker. A finger in the butthole and the vagina at Nobu.
We've been watching Sex Life, the show. And Lauren and I are fucking horny. We keep like laying next to each other watching the show, like looking over each other. We're like, I am ready to get fucked. My boyfriend has been getting disgusting messages. He's like, where did this come from? I'm like, I am watching
Lauren.
Sex Life. I'm Lauren. Lauren. We're both getting like really horny. We're like, okay, get out of the bed. We're just laying in bed together. Getting horny.
Watching porn, basically.
Literally. Okay, we're going to get ready for dinner and we will keep you guys updated on how our night goes. Daddy Gang, Chicago, Daddy Gang. I will see you hopefully tonight. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
We have our voices and
I have, sort of, but yeah. I'm coming. It's always just bad in the morning. Good morning, Daddy Gang.
Voices and dignity intact.
Yeah, we did. We were, like, pretty good last night.
I think it's because I live here and I have, like, friends here, so, like, I don't want to, like, ruin my reputation.
Oh, right. Yeah, Lauren was like, hey, like, let's not burn it down fully. So the first night we figured be chill.
Cool, collected.
Yeah.
So let's not even recap our night.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let me take like a shower and then we'll get up. Okay. I'm showered. I'm scrub-a-dub-dubbed clean. I'm laying on the couch. I'm watching Lauren open some goldfish. She's reclining. She's looking sexy. Mm-hmm. I'm actually not even hungover. I want to watch Harry Potter. And let's catch up. Talk to me, Big Lair. Oh, how about this? Here's the fucking update of the morning. Lauren and I both had therapy yesterday.
We made it.
We made it, baby. We did not cancel. And we don't usually like debrief our therapy sessions together.
No, it's more like, hey, like, I know you had therapy. If you want to talk about it, like, I'm an open soundboard for you.
Yes.
Hope you're good.
Yes. And so, and then there are some times where we're like, oh, I want to talk about this. Like, I think this is interesting. So Lauren was like, This morning she was like, hey, like I was thinking about my therapy session and like there was a lot of really interesting things that came from it. Like
this was a lighter one for me.
Yes. There you go. And she was like, do you want to talk about it? Like, I think it's interesting. And I'm like, sure. Like, do you want to podcast about it? And she was like, totally. I think it's like really relatable. So Lauren, take it away.
Yeah. My therapist was just like spewing advice yesterday.
Okay. I'm ready. Cause I have no idea. Yeah. I'm letting you guys in on this. We're doing another girl talk segment. We're sitting on the couch.
Yeah. So Alex hasn't heard any of this
yet. Okay. Here we go.
So I started my therapy session by telling my, you look so intent right now.
I know, I'm like staring you like literally into this hole. I'm like, okay, what? Here we go.
So I started my therapy session by telling my therapist that I had made plans to see my ex. He last minute canceled and I was really upset and I ended up blocking him. And like when I told her that, I was like, oh, like I feel embarrassed even saying like I'm 26 years old and I blocked someone. Classic therapist. What do you think she said?
Why are you embarrassed?
Yes.
Oh, I love it. I'm like trying to think of what my therapist would say to me.
And I was like, I don't know. Like it feels like immature to block someone that I need that hard of a boundary to like not talk to them or like push them away. And she was like, I don't know. I think that's like a thing that happens sometimes. Like when you're with someone and your lives are so entangled, sometimes you need like that like clean break.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, cool. Like making me feel less guilty about like blocking someone.
Right.
So lesson number one, like,
don't feel guilty about blocking.
Like, I think if you have to do that, you have to do that.
Dude, that reminded me when you also said like being embarrassed saying it. Do you remember what I used to say about my therapist? Like, I would lie to my therapist.
Yes, because I was debating, am I even going to tell my therapist that I was going to go meet up with my ex and then I blocked him?
Yes, and then you were like, wait, why wouldn't you tell him that? I mean, why wouldn't you tell your therapist that? And it's like, I've always said this, if anyone's in therapy, like, I don't know. I think it's because like you still, no matter, even if you're in therapy, you still have this want, just like anyone in the world, like to
present.
Present a certain way.
Yeah.
And then you're like, wait, I'm paying this person to literally listen to my issues and be non-judgmental and to give me advice about it. Like what you could.
And they can only give you advice if they're getting the whole picture. Like they're only going to, like, they can't give you the full advice if you're giving them like a skewed version of the truth.
Exactly. So it's like, that was another thing that took me a while to learn. Like you don't need to lie to your therapist. Like they're literally, they need the whole truth and they're not there to judge.
Not saying it's easy to sit down, but
yeah. Well, I think one that's actually that like makes me feel better. Like I've definitely, it's also hard for me sometimes to block people because I'm so fascinated because I like want to know what they're going to say. So sometimes it's like, I should then have the strength to be more mature to block. Why do I care what that person's going to slide in and say? If you're really done with it, then block them.
Speaking of like strength, that's something else my therapist said. She was like, I think based on your past and like you feeling out of control growing up and kind of like not being in control, I think for you, that was like your sense of like reclaiming power and like feeling in control of the situation. Like, hey, like now I'm stepping in, like you kind of threw me out of control when you canceled on me. And like now I'm stepping in and like reclaiming that control, which is something she was like, you might have needed in that moment based on like your past.
Wow. So the blocking was way larger than
just
like
blocking. Me just being like a petty bitch.
Yes. You were more so being like, no, you don't have the control. Like I'm fully in control of my life and I will make the last decision.
Cause I was like, spiraling. Remember I said I was like checking and like obsessing over like, what is he doing?
Dude,
and, like,
in the car, I had asked Lauren, we were like, finally,
I'm, like, coughing.
Dude, we're like both coughing. Sorry. Now Lauren's sick. We were in the car on the way
home from the Hamptons.
From the Hamptons. And I was like, I wonder like, God, like the weather was so shit in the Hamptons. Like, I wonder where it was like what was the weather like for your ex-boyfriend? And you were like, it rained the whole time. And I was like, what?
Except on 4th of July.
Yes.
At 8 p.m., the rain cleared.
And I was like, Lauren. And she was like, I know how bad that I was literally stalking that much that I was looking at
the weather. So I can imagine like really like, is it raining on his parade right now?
So, okay, that makes sense. Like maybe the sense of blocking has more to do with like an actual
sense of power.
Yeah.
And yeah.
But or whatever it means to someone.
Yeah. Like what it represents. Yeah. But she did, she was like, you realize like that's going to come with repercussions, right? And I was like,
what? Like what?
Like what? And she was like, well, if you had a friendship and now he's like, you've blocked him, he's going to go to text you and
one
would hope.
Yeah.
One day he's going to go to text you and be like,
what the fuck?
Yeah, like I'm blocked. And like, she was like, she also said like blocking can be temporary. Like maybe you block him for 3 months to kind of like get that clear space. Yeah. Like don't talk for 3 months, cold turkey, like, and see where you're at. Which
that's what I true. Thought. Like somehow by you saying what your therapist is saying, it's almost making me feel better also that like maybe blocking isn't that immature. Like ghosting is a whole different thing. And
I want to talk about that. Yeah, I wrote my thesis on ghosting.
Okay, yeah. We could talk about ghosting, but like blocking maybe is actually I would go as far, again, it's situational, but like maybe a blocking is a mature thing.
So like that's something you could do. I think I did this for myself.
Yeah.
Like, yes, my initial reaction was being a petty bitch.
Yes. Yes. We heard you.
Yes. Like, I'm enraged.
I know. I was like, I know. That makes me laugh every time
but,
I hear
you know,
it.
I've had therapy now and like, now I'm looking at it, I think this was more of a me thing. Like, I didn't like the way that I was feeling after that situation.
Yeah. Okay. That actually makes me feel better. Like, anyone listening, like, I think we're actually changing the entire thought process around blocking. I don't think we should so quickly jump to associate blocking someone as something that's immature. And please don't get me wrong, like, it is absolutely immature if you're like, it's your boyfriend and you're in the middle of a conversation and you just like block him. Like, no, you need to have that conversation. You need to be mature and not just block them. But if it's some situation where you have that final conversation and everything is supposed to be wrapped up, but either you can't stop reaching out or they can't stop reaching out, that's where it blurs the lines and makes things more difficult. And maybe blocking is the answer, and that's the healthiest way to go about it. So blocking in this case, it can be good at times. It's situational.
So then, like, you guys know I've had a lot of shit to talk about in therapy. So, like, this is actually, like, the first time we've really talked about my relationship in therapy.
Which
so I'm
was
like,
wild.
Yeah, wild. So I'm like, okay, like, let's just, like, dive into this. Like, yeah. Let's start, like, unpacking, like, my relationship. Let's start unpacking, like, my future dating history. Like, how is this going to, like, affect my future dating history?
Yeah.
And I was like, do you think I'm going to be, like, the classic girl with, like, daddy issues? And, like, it sounds like a joke, but I'm, like, am I, like, she was, like, what do you, like, what type of guy do you think you're attracted to? And I was, like, I think I want someone, like, older and, like, very stable. But I'm, like, that sounds like I want, like, a dad.
Wow.
And I'm, like, do you think that, like, I'm looking for something, like, I never had? Like, I never had that stability growing up and, like, never had, like, I was, like, really, like, I've always been taking care of everyone. Like, I've never been taken care of in my life. And I'm, like, am I going to, like, just project that and, like, look for the wrong person based on something that, like, I missed when I was growing up?
Dude, I'm, like, staring at Lauren.
And this, like, was a light therapy session for me.
Wait. Yeah, I'm always, like, jealous. Lauren's, like, my therapist will, like, literally go, like, an hour and a half with me. I'm, like, what the fuck? The 50-minute time? She's, like, no. She goes over with me every time. That's fascinating.
Yeah. And she was like, hold up. She was like, one thing I want to caution you with, and I think caution anyone, like, when you're, like, evaluating your dating choices or your past relationships, it's, she was like, don't do so in a judgmental manner. It's already good that, like, you're evaluating yourself. Like, yeah. Don't come at yourself with judgment. Like, you don't need to judge yourself. Enough people already judge you as is.
Lauren, the fact that you have that insight in dating already is amazing. And I think that just highlights, the more that you know yourself, this applies to everyone, the more that you know yourself, aka going through therapy, you're then going to be able to go through your dating experiences and able to discern whether you're like, okay, am I pursuing this person because they've got a great personality and I vibe with them? Or are you literally going after someone and, like, into their personality and the traits about them because it's fulfilling something that you haven't dealt with from your past? Because that is where you pick someone and it's fucked up and it's not right. I also just respect you, Lauren, like, being open. Like, I feel like a lot of people would don't want to be like, oh, I have daddy issues. Like, the fact that you're being introspective enough to just,
I'm like, tell me, do yeah. I? Yes. Tell me, do I have daddy yeah. issues? But she was like, I think something really, really great that anyone should do when they're starting dating is make a list of negotiables and non-negotiables for you. Wow. Like, what is something that you need in a partner and what is something that, like, you just cannot tolerate? And I think we have both, I know that me and you both have one of the same, like, this person has to have it. What is it?
Therapy.
Yeah. So I was like, I think I need someone who is in therapy, who has been in therapy or is open to therapy.
And is like, and is willing to at least work on themselves.
And she was like, well, why do you think you want someone in therapy? Here we go.
Fuck.
I know.
Why did you say?
Because she's like, you have to keep, like, going deeper and deeper. Like, what does this represent? And, like, yeah. It's going to keep driving you, like, to the core of, like, what essence of a person are you looking for? And I was like, I think I want someone with, like, emotional intelligence. Like, that's something that's yes. really important to me. Like, yes. I want to be able to sit down and, like,
have a conversation.
I think like, intimate conversation is more important to me than physical touch.
I agree. Like, to me, you need to be able to, like, almost, like, fuck my mind before yes. you fuck me. Like, yes. I need yes. to be so mentally yes. stimulated yes. by conversation. Wait, so did you come to a conclusion of what your type is? You need someone smart. Can we say, you told me the other
no,
day.
No. No, we can say it. Maybe just cut it out, depending if I sound like
an asshole. No, you're not an asshole, Lauren. I think you're...
But so I came to her, and I was like, why am I, like, an education snob?
Yeah.
I was like, if I'm a dating app and I see, like, an Ivy League, like, I, like, left immediately, don't even read anything. Like, oh, she shook me. You want to know what she said?
What?
She was like, hold up. Take a walk with me. How old are you when you apply to college?
Oh.
What? 16? 17? So you're 16, you're 17. What's a huge factor if you get into college? Money. Your parents. Where can your parents afford to send you? So she's like, Lauren, you're judging people on decisions they were making when they were 16 and 17, how much money their parents had. She's like, all of my friends that go to Ivy League schools, the joke of Ivy League schools is half the people there are a legacy or bought their way in. Which led us to our next conversation, which I thought was like a profound point. She was like, I don't want you to get caught up in that kind of stuff. I want to, like, I think people forget, like, to be in the moment, like, on their first date. Like, your first initial reaction on a first date is to try to make the person like you, like, trying to, like, just prove to them that they should pick you, like, that, like, hey, like, I'm worth your time. But, like, when you're trying to get someone to like you, you're not in the moment, you're not attuned to how you're feeling in this person's presence. I was like, cool, you just rocked my world.
Damn. That makes me think and kind of makes, like, puts a mirror up to my face a little bit, because I do remember, like, I used to date and I would go on first dates and be so excited for first dates, which I know a lot of people are like, wait, I used to get excited, but it was only because I felt like I was playing, not like a character, but I, like, knew exactly the lines I was gonna say, and I would go off of, like, whatever they liked, I would pretend to like, and I would pretend to be interested in, and I was appeasing all of their wants and their needs and their interests, and I wasn't even, like, being myself. And then I remember I would like go home and they would text me after and be like, I had the best time, and I'd be like, I knew what I was doing, but, like, I didn't even enjoy myself. They didn't know anything really about me. And it was like, why was I doing that? Now, obviously, through therapy and, like, just being more mature and older, I get it. It was fun. It was for a purpose. I was pretending to be someone that I wasn't just for the game of courting and getting this person and making,
like, getting that high of, like, yes. Yeah, like, they want me. Like,
but
I did it.
Now that I'm older, I'm sitting here and I'm like, okay, listen. I will not, I will never take back. Like, if you are someone that's in college right now and you want to fucking date the captain of the fucking football team or the goddamn guy on the hockey team, and you're going to have to fake it till you make it a little bit to, like, pretend you're fucking interested in what he's saying because socially it's going to work for you.
That's what my therapist said. She's like, when you're in college, she's like, a popularity thing. Yes, she's like, you're different. Not in college, Lauren. Yeah.
Okay. So that's why I'm saying, like, Daddy Gang, if you are still in the, like, collegiate world, or yeah, you're in high school, like, it, life is different.
Yeah, like, when you're in college, it's different. Like, you have all these shared interests, and, like, yes, you're in the same world. Like, when you're in the real world and, like, out of college, like, it's not, you don't have that stuff.
That makes sense, because I get for social gain, like, gonna try to date someone, and then obviously you'll break up if it's yeah, like, not meant to be. But those decisions I used to make were so, yeah, for, like, status or for
my therapist literally was like, it's a popularity contest when you're younger, and when you grow up, hopefully you realize life is no longer a popularity contest. Like, literally over and over, what we kept saying was, dating is hard and it's wild, and it's like, but she was like, you should look at dating as an experience, like, get to know yourself better.
That's such a good point too. Yeah. Dude, you had a fucking good therapy session.
Oh, I'm not even done. She gave me so much more wisdom.
Wait, I agree though. Anyone in the dating game, especially I think coming out of this pandemic, of course, love Hot Girl Summer and everything, but I also do get, like, there are people that are coming out of this pandemic and they aren't just looking for hookup culture.
Another thing we talked about. Like, maybe for the first time now, I'm feel like, in regards to, I think, what you're about to say, like, feeling like that biological clock. Like, in Chicago, I'm the only one of my friends who's single.
Dude, it's
like that pressure. Like, should I, like, be, like, trying to, like, date more seriously? Should I be looking for someone?
No. No. Guys, to you, Lauren, and everyone listening, dating is not linear. And it's also, everyone has a different path. Like, you just got out of a huge breakup. No shit. You are looking around and people are in relationships, but they may have been single for so long. You haven't been. And it's not that you need to be single. If you find the right person, that's amazing. But people get way too caught up in comparing themselves to what others are doing, specifically when your friends are all on the same page. You got to do what's right for you. And I think you and I have talked about, right now, you need to focus on you. And then your friends, clearly, they're at a different stage in their life.
And then, like, we got onto the topic of, like, second dates. So I'm like, I feel like I'm, like, really critical and, like, harsh with, like, second dates.
Yeah.
And I'm just, like, I'm waiting for that moment. And I think a lot of people do, like, and we have this assumption that, like, you should see stars on the first date. And my therapist laughed in my face when I said that.
She's like, sweetie.
Yeah. She was like, honestly, like, if you see stars and you become infatuated on the first date, that's dangerous. Because you're going to immediately put up blinders because you think this person is like it, and you're going to ignore so many red flags, and then you're going to get 5 months in and be like, fuck, I'm in deep, and now these things that I don't like, shit. So she was like, unless the first date is a complete wash where you're like, oh my gosh, this is a shit show. She's like, I urge you to always give the second date.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And oh my gosh, you want to know?
Keep going. Yeah, I'm like, whoa, I feel like I'm in a therapy session right now.
So she used the term roster. She was like,
you were like, do you listen to Cole or Dottie?
I know.
Just tell
me. She was like, I think in regards to giving people a second date, she was like, in doing so, you also need to have a roster. And I was like, what?
You were like, are you Alex Cooper? Alex? You're like, Alex?
Yeah.
Are you my, what's that? What?
Because she was like, one, I think you can get these blinders on and these like seeing stars too fast, where you get tunnel vision. And if you have more than one person, 2 to 3 people, you can compare. It's an easy black and white comparison. Do I feel my, because you're in dating, you're always putting yourself first. Do I feel better in this person's presence or this person's presence? And it gives you like a taste. You're just like, you got to get like a taste. You got to build your list of negotiables and non-negotiables. And like, it was hard for me to sit there and think like in the moment, what are my negotiables? What are my non-negotiables? She's like, you learn those through experience. So through dating multiple people, maybe you'll get something like, oh, I love that one.
Yeah.
That's something like that guy had. And like, I really want that. Like, that's something I'm going to add to my list. And like, what are your non-negotiables?
I definitely know one of my main ones that I learned through a past relationship was like, I cannot be with someone that has a temper.
I was literally about to say this same exact thing. It triggers me. Like, it triggers me to, like, it's something I talked about in therapy. Like, it triggers me to the point where, like, I shut down and I can't converse. Like, I can't speak. Like, I literally am, like, I shut down.
Mine is, that's so interesting because I get that for you.
Yeah.
And mine is the opposite where, like, and I know for my own shit and like my dynamic growing up, mine is I get to a level that I don't like with myself. If my partner has a temper.
Oh, you'll match their energy.
I will match it and
I will shut down. You will match
it. Yes. So that, what other non-negotiables? What is another one for you that's a non-negotiable?
I said Republican, but we can't put that on the podcast.
Stop. Like, I cannot take it. People are gonna be like, I'm unfollowing you, Lauren.
It's fine, you can unfollow me.
This is fascinating.
I know.
Daddy gang, make your list.
Yeah, send us your list. Maybe I'll get some more things to add to my list.
Yeah.
Like, the last, like, big thing she, like, left me with, she was like, I think the biggest thing you need to, like, sit on and, like, keep in the back of your head, and I think the bigger, more relatable aspect of this is, like, evaluating not just your past relationship, romantic relationships, but all relationships in your life, because all relationships are going to have some type of similarity, some type of, like, cohesion, I guess is the right word.
Yeah.
So she's like, she even talked about like the relationship I had in like my nannying job, the relationship I had in my family, the relationship I had with my past boyfriend. She's like, in all of those relationships, they weren't great, but you stuck in there way too long. And like, you've embedded in you that like, you're good at weathering like bad storms. And like, I know exactly what like dance to dance and like what stones to step on to like move around to like be fine in a bad thing. And she was like, I think you need to know that because I think moving forward, you wouldn't get out of a bad relationship quick enough. So I think that's the fuck the phone.
Fuck. It's probably the fucking food. Wait, dude, you were just having a moment. Wow. Well, Lauren is going to get the food, but to wrap this up, because we're about to eat breakfast and then we're going to go on a trolley. If you guys remember the other week, we were like, we are going on a trolley and we will be wearing shin guards because it's called a shindig and you have to wear shin guards on your fucking shins. But to wrap that up, I kind of am like, definitely inspired. Thank you, Lauren.
Welcome.
And I feel like I'm now also going to take this into my next therapy session. Now it's time to ramp it back the fuck up. Time to drink, time to have fun, and time to kick the shit out of anyone's shins that don't show up in this trolley with a pair of fucking shin guards. See you around town, daddies. We'll be cruising in the trolley.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. There's a man next to me again.
A man who lost his voice.
Lauren now lost her voice too.
I'm in pain. I need you to go back to LA.
You're like, leave, please. Last night, I want to be so clear. Lauren and I left here to go on a trolley. And we were like, we're just going to go on the trolley.
For 3 hours.
And we're going to come home and we're going to watch like Harry Potter and do like a little marathon. And we're going to eat. Dude, we're going to eat some like cat. We're going to eat food and we're going to like cuddle and just relax because we have the live event today. What do you guys think happened? What do you think happened? Lauren and I got off that trolley after Lauren's vagina and thighs were wrapped around a man's head as she straddled him and was on the trolley, bopping and hopping on his fucking shoulders.
Then we took shrooms.
No!
And got a finger up our assholes.
Can you imagine? We're like, then we accidentally took shrooms again. No. We then get off the trolley and we go to this bar and everyone's at this bar and Lauren are like, we're like, not enough.
Not enough.
Not enough. And so we leave the group. And so we're like, let's go and find the most poppin' bar there is and let's try to get in. So we start running through the streets of Chicago and lo and behold, we find this one bar that looks pretty great and there's a really long line. And so what do you think I do?
We pay to get in.
We pay to get in. We go in. We go buy a drink. Something comes over me that I'm feeling so ready to rage. Like, I was on a different tilt. And, Lauren, you at first were good. You were like, oh, should we go home? And I was like, not enough. And I start plotting. I'm like, who is going on that stage?
And then they're like a rapper coming.
No, he was a country singer.
Oh, I'm glad he left. I fucking hate country music.
Dude, there was a country singer coming on stage, and his name was Scott. All of a sudden.
Can I open to Scott?
I literally had too much liquid courage. I'm like, can I please open for Scott and introduce Scott? So there we are. So I look at Lauren, and I say, Lauren, oh, just so you're on board, you're coming on stage with me. And Lauren looks down at her shin guards.
I was teetering a fine line of blackout at this point.
Lauren's like, what? I'm like, if I'm going up there, I need you to at least be standing there for like moral support. Like, I'm not going up on the stage, but I have not planned this. People prep for like months to even like intro like this type of show. I'm like, I'm not going up there alone. So Lauren,
any videos you see of me on that stage from that night, do not judge me.
Dude, people were zooming in on your fucking shin guards, being like, why is Lauren on stage with jean shorts, sneakers, and shin guards? And so I just start going. And honestly, it was so dope because Daddy Gang was just like hyped the fuck up that like I barely needed to say shit. Everyone was just like in a fucking mood. We did like a 10-second chug together. I obviously gave a nice shout out to the Gluck Gluck 9000. And then we left and we...
The manager drove us home.
Oh my God, I forgot.
The manager and his girlfriend drove us home.
It was so fucking fun. And it was amazing. So shout out to the Daddy Gang. You literally made it so easy to go up there. You guys were just like bopping and screaming and I was obsessed with you. And it was so...
You all now also have strep throat.
A stop. And we all have strep throat tonight.
Okay. I'm about to do something that I have never done in the history of Call Her Daddy. I am about to do a live questions of the fucking week, baby. And the people that are asking the questions are you, Daddy Gang. The Daddy Gang of Chicago is meeting me at a secret pop-up that I put together at a place called Luminati's. It's an iconic deep dish pizza place in Chicago. They were amazing. They're giving us a secret room. A certain amount of Daddy Gang I'm DMing right now. They answered a question on the internet correctly. I'm DMing them. They are going to get a code word. What do you think the fucking code word is? It's Henry, of course. You go up to the security guard. You say Henry. They let you into a private room. And there I will be doing a live questions of the week with you. Let's fucking go. Okay, so I'm sitting here editing the podcast and I now need to make a little disclaimer. Doing my first live in-person podcast, note to self, the Daddy Gang and I were so fucking out of control and so loud. Moving forward, podcasting equipment is not going to cut it. We are going to need stadium equipment. And what I mean by that, guys, is I'm listening to the audio of the live show. It is so loud. We are screaming. So I apologize. I am so happy, honestly, with how it went. And I wish you guys could have all been there in person. But now in hindsight, realizing that you guys are like listening in your AirPods, I apologize for the noise. I tried to salvage some of the questions that sound more of like a podcast rather than an actual live chanting concert. So shout out to the daddies that were there with me. You guys literally were the funnest of time and I wish everyone listening could have been there. But for everyone now that's listening on the podcast, I was able to salvage some of the audio and I hope we don't hurt your ears. Just know it was a great fucking time. The idea, the effort was there, and stadium equipment is in my Amazon cart. Just hang in there and turn your audio down a little bit. Name? Oh my God! Hi. Okay, wait. What's your name? Do you have a boyfriend?
Yes.
You do.
Long distance. That's my question.
Oh, give me the tea.
Okay. So, I've been with my boyfriend 4 years, decided I want to up and leave my life, go to Chicago.
Fuck.
Right. No, same. Love my boyfriend more than anything. We're doing long distance.
Okay.
But I want to, like, spice it up. Oh. I want to be a nasty bitch. Oh. I'm used to, like, being very introverted.
Yes.
And, like, I want him to come here and, like, be on his little leash. Yes. And want to come back.
We love the leash.
And, like, he is already trying to come every weekend. He, like,
do you feel like he's feeling insecure because yeah, you're living your best?
He is, yeah.
He's like feeling a little bit like, wait, I want to be a part of this.
Right, because he sees my life here. He's like, this is amazing, bougie, awesome. I love it. Love this for you.
Was it hard to have a conversation with him that you were moving?
No, he's like super supportive.
Okay,
like, so it's actually really healthy.
So I was about to say, right. Like, do you feel scared? Because it's 4 years.
No, not with my relationship, no.
So you want advice of like how to spice it up while he's away and then when he comes and how to play.
Yes.
Okay, my number one thing that I will tell you that I've been doing recently, which is like fucking nasty, but I like it, I've done all the stuff, ladies. So like the classic, like, which I think sometimes girls get freaked out. I think guys like obviously the classic when you send him your underwear and like send a dirty text with it and like write it down. But let's ramp it up a little bit. I recently have been watching porn. And I will literally tell him a specific time code of a porn clip. Is this too much? Also?
No, I want it.
Okay.
I love it.
I'm like, also tell me if this is way too aggressive.
No, he's going to like read a message and be like, is this my girlfriend? Like, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So you can be like, I'm thinking about you right now and I'm watching this and I'm like masturbating and I literally want to do this when you come here. So you're almost like combining him being away and that's something to look forward to. But send a time code, whether it's like a really hot position during like the porn while like they're in doggy or like sucking a hot girl sucking dick and you're like, I want to do this to you or I want you to do this to me, send him the time code of the porn and then have him watch it and then start dirty talking while he's watching the porn.
Yes. Let's go.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Where are you from? How old are you?
I'm from Michigan originally, but live in Chicago. I'm 23, almost 24.
Do you have a boyfriend?
I do have a boyfriend. Actually, he's moving long distance. Yes.
Okay, so wait, what is your question?
So my question is, what would you suggest for people who want to spice up their sex life but are on antidepressants or other drugs that suppress your sex drive? Like, I am in the best mental phase of my life.
Yes.
But, like, the, like, anti-anxiety meds just
bring down
the sex drive, and he gets that, totally understands
supportive.
He does not push me or anything, but like I want to have sex, like, but my body is just like, no, we're like, we're so calm. We're so not anxious. I mean, I am the happiest I've ever been on it.
Right.
But like
the one thing that it's affecting. Yeah. Is your sex
and
life.
And he doesn't even care, but it's just like, I feel lame now. I'm 24. I'm not really having sex as much as I used to. And it's like, I should be. And I know there's no shoulds, but like.
No, I get it. Oh, also because you're saying like you want to.
Yeah.
It's just you feel like your body isn't like telling you.
Right.
In the
it's not okay. There. And like he doesn't want to push me because he's a great guy. Okay, so he doesn't want to come on to me and then get turned down when I'm just really not in the mood. Mm-hmm. So we kind of are in this like imbalance of like sometimes I want him to come on to me to put me in the mood and be like, oh, right. Yeah, we should be doing this. But then I'm like, then he doesn't want to get turned away. So we're in right. This weird like limbo. Okay.
The first thing that makes me happy for you is like the fact that you're saying you have a partner that is like so on board.
Yes.
With your situation, what comes to mind is, because I never want to speak from like experience. I've never been on antidepressants. I've had friends though. And I think it's like my suggestion would be finding things that would put you in an environmental like mood that like again is elevating the happiness, is elevating the romance between you. So like maybe you set up like a really really cozy night where you're like you get all this like good food, you get a movie night, you are lighting candles, and so it's almost like the environment is like amping up that you're saying you're lacking, and so you're almost like giving yourself like sensory things around you that make you feel sexy, like maybe go shopping that day. It's all about like every step of the day. And again, you may be like, but wait, I thought I wanted to do it tonight and like I'm not in the mood. Great. You can fucking light the candle the next night.
Yeah.
Like it's not like it's like one and done. Like it's almost like not put pressure on yourself, but put moments that allow you to like feel sexy, feel romantic, feel connected. And then maybe, and even if it doesn't happen that night.
Right. Then we're like, just cuddling and we're hanging out and having fun.
Again, yeah. And it's like a little bit more foreplay towards you eventually wanting to do it. I also think I heard you saying like, there's nights that I don't want him to come on to me because I don't want him to feel like rejected. But then there are some moments where like, wait, I do want him to come on to me. I think it sounds like you have really open communication.
Yes.
You could even say like, I hate, it's like corny to be like a code word, but like I've been there before.
That's actually a great idea, right? Like a code word. So it doesn't feel like I have to come on to him where he's just kind of like,
yes.
I like say like, I don't know, bamboo. And then he's like, oh, hey.
Maybe let's go away from the bamboo. You're like sausage. And you're like, whoa, wait. But that's because like you want to still have that like courting thing. And like you want to feel like he's coming on to you.
Yes.
But it's got to be, he's like, well, how am I supposed to know?
Yes.
I think a code word. What should the code word be? I like that. Okay, fruit. Okay. Yeah, we're like papaya. Wait, I feel like it should be something that's not like an awkward, like you laugh, like bacon. Like it needs to be something that's like almost just
or
like.
We're both vegetarian. It could be something vegetable.
Yeah. Oh, you could even. The mood is nice. Or like, I like that. Well,
I like
elevate,
the mood is nice.
Right?
And like, then it kind of
Yeah, like this mood is nice. And you are almost saying like, and that's like not a weird thing to fucking say. He's not going to be like, it's like, and he gets the cue.
Yes. Perfect.
Oh yes.
Okay.
Amazing. I love you.
Thank
oh my God.
You.
Thank you. That was such
that
a
was
question.
Such-
oh my God. I love you. I love you. Of course.
Okay. So I'm in a little bit of a sticky situation.
Tell me.
One of my best friends was standing up in a wedding and she was the maid of honor, and the best man and her started going on dates and hooking up, you know, whatever. And so she comes to me like later on, they're like, they've been together for maybe like a month. And then so she's like, oh my God, let me show you him on Instagram. I'm like, all right, well, you tell me his Instagram. I'm going to creep. So I'm creeping his tagged photos. All of his tagged photos are with a girl that used to be in my sorority in college. So then I creep her. They've been dating for 2 years in an apartment and have a dog together. So not only is he dating one of my, like, trying to date one of my best friends, he's also currently dating for over a year a girl in my sorority. And I know all this, and I don't know what to do.
I, like, felt a vibe when you came up here, like, this girl's got something.
Oh, yeah, I got all the tea.
Wait. Oh, fuck. Okay, wait, so you were at the wedding.
No, I wasn't there. She was. My best friend stood up in the wedding. She was
got
the maid
it.
Of honor. And
he
was
the
best
man. And then they started dating after that.
Yeah, they started hooking up, going on dates, whatever. And she had no clue until I was creeping. I was like, wait, I recognize
him. Wait, and on the girl's page,
Are there all couple pictures from your sorority?
Like, yeah, but she's private, so the other girl couldn't see. So I followed her because she was in my sorority.
Okay, what is your question? Because I have so many things happening here.
I don't know how to go about this.
Okay, I almost feel like, do you hang out with the one that was a maid of honor a lot?
Yeah, she's my best friend. The girl in my sorority I don't really talk to anymore because I'm out of
college.
Dude,
if it's your best friend, you have to tell her.
Yeah, right? But how do I go about this?
Be on your phone on Instagram and be like, oh my God, look at this girl from my old sorority. Wait, isn't that Todd or whatever his name is? And it's an entire Instagram with her boyfriend. Yeah. Dude, I get it. Like, to be real and like more sensitive, I'm sure in that moment you were like fucking shocked. And you're like, yeah, I was about to say, first of all,
you're like exposed.
Okay,
to expose.
I think if this was like Lauren and I'm just, she starts dating a guy, which you're not allowed to date anyone yet. You're not allowed to do that yet. But if this happened, I think you literally genuinely, because I think she will be more hurt if she knows you were sitting on this and didn't tell her. I think you should literally the next time you're with her be like, hi, Kate, or whatever her name is, and be like, Kate, I'm going to be really honest with you. I was just perusing the gram and came across this girl from my sorority, and I need you to see her profile.
Yeah.
And just hand her the phone, maybe.
So what about the girl in my sorority? Do I tell her?
Fuck the girl in your sorority for a minute. Sorry. Hold on. Because we can deal with her in a minute. Like, and she's not doing anything wrong either.
Yeah, no.
It's like you first have to take care of your immediate best friend, because this is going to be like fucking awful for her to hear. Yeah. You can't take care of them both right away. Like, you're not going to DM her and be like, hey, my best friend is dating your boyfriend. Yeah. And like, maybe don't blow it all up at once. Let's do like a slow play with this thing. Like, first address like who you're closest to and see her reaction. Then I think once you guys talk, because maybe she's like, I'm just never going to talk to this dude again.
Yeah.
Then you could turn around and DM the girl from your sorority.
And tell her.
Or if she's like, I want to go catch this motherfucker in the act.
That's how she
is. Let's get in the car. And then you're like, oh, fuck, but I know that the girl in the sorority, maybe you'll give her a heads up that you're conspiring to ruin his life and ask if she wants to be a part of it. So I think you're like, okay, you're psycho. Sorry, my wheels are turning. I'm like, ooh. I really just think it's always like, you have loyalty to your best friend. Not that I'm not saying you have loyalty to the other girl, because this girl's done literally nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. It's just, I think it's always better to address something head on and not try to like move all the pieces all at once. Like, see what she says. Kind of take her lead on it, because I've seen friendships get fucked up because it's approached in a wrong way. Like, I've literally lost a friend because I told her boyfriend was cheating, and she was like, no, he's not. I hate you. And I'm like, well, I don't want to fuck your boyfriend. What do I have? And I have no skin in the game. Like, I'm just telling you. But girls, I think it's hard. It's because it's an embarrassing feeling. Mm-hmm. And then you work from like a different place when you're embarrassed and you get defensive.
Definitely.
So just be loving and just hand her your phone.
Like, just look.
And then like sit there. Like, and just like try to read the vibe. How are we doing?
Exploding this.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Okay, boom. Yay. No problem. Hi. We were just talking about how we like thought we were losing our jobs because.
Oh, yeah.
I'll bleep out your name just so that we like really can. We were like, I have been drinking. I have been on a bender. You've been on a 7-day bender?
Longer than 7. I think 10 days at this point.
Okay, tell me what's going on in your life. Are you in a relationship? What's happening?
I am. I feel like I'm in like the opposite of everybody else. Where like, I've never been in a real relationship.
Oh, okay.
And I've only been in a hoe phase.
Okay, baby.
And like, so now that I'm in a really serious relationship where it's like, we both have said like, you know,
we're done.
We'll probably be getting married. Like, we're like each other's, you know, person, which is so fucking cheesy.
No, it's not. But it's cute.
I kind of feel like I'm going through an identity crisis where I'm like,
whoa,
I'm in a relationship. Like, what can I do? What can I not do? Like, am I becoming boring? Like, am I hanging out with my friends enough? Like, it just feels so weird. And that I don't have like that freedom of just like,
do whatever the fuck you want.
Yes. And I feel weird. Like, what does this mean?
I think like, wait, how long have you guys been dating?
5 months.
Wow. Okay. Wait, and you already know you want to get married?
It's been a hot minute. Yeah. But we both have like.
And it's going amazing.
Yeah, it's really good.
But you're just like fully like, I actually am.
But I'm like, who the fuck am I?
Right, right, right. You're like, this is great, but like, what the fuck?
Yes.
Okay. I actually think that's really
normal. Everybody is always wondering, like, when you're single, you're like, oh, I want to be in a relationship, unless you're in your situation where you're like, I want to be single, baby. But, like, once you're single for a while, you're like, all right, I want to, we're human beings. Naturally, we want to connect with another human being. That's, like, natural. We aren't, like, simps for wanting to have a fucking boyfriend, like, or a girlfriend. That's normal. I think, though, now, then, when you get into it, I've had that, where, like, then once you are in a relationship and we're in our 20s, we're still in that weird phase of, like, watching the single friends. But then I'm, like, talking to Lauren, and Lauren's like, wait, now all my friends are in relationships and I'm the only single one. Like, it's almost like we can never win.
Yeah.
Like, everyone, when you're in a relationship, you're probably like, I'm so happy, but I also want to be over there doing, like, hoe girl shit. And it's like, there's never going to be a moment, I feel like, until we're, like, hitting that peak of, like, once all of our friends are now married with fucking children. In the meantime, before your friends get knocked up, what we can do to mitigate the damage is, I think, you have to find, like, a balance.
Yeah.
Because you're going to start to, like, hate all of it if you fully are, like, I am housewife, hear me roar. And you're like sitting on the couch every night and it's like, girl, go to the bar.
Yeah.
You can still be hoey. Like, listen, I've said it to my boyfriend. Like, maybe I don't say this to him. You can still, like, innocently flirt a little bit when you're out with your girls. Like, if I'm a wing woman to Lauren, I'm not going to be like, I have a boyfriend, please do not look at me. Like,
yeah.
When I'm out with Lauren, I'm, like, talking to the guys. And I get my fix from that, of, like, going out with my single friends. Don't look at your single friends like you don't want to hang out with them because now you're in a relationship and you feel like the odd man out.
Yeah.
Use it as, like, they give you that sense of hoe still. You're like, oh, I can still hoe it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go and I'm going to talk to the guys that they're talking to. You just don't have to, like, suck their dick. You know what I mean? We can cut the line. So you're still being loyal. Mm-hmm. You're still being faithful. You're still getting a little bit of that hoe moment. Like, go out. Hoe a little. Just don't, like, actually, like, physically hoe.
Yeah. Just mentally. Yeah. Why is it once you get in a relationship, all these guys, like, come out of the fucking woodwork and they're like, oh my God, now they see you're in a relationship, like, are you free?
I know.
It's like, where were you 6 months ago?
I'm like, but again, I always think about this, long term, short term. Cool to have the attention in the moment.
Yep.
Do you want to be sitting with that guy on the couch, and do you think it would be the connection? Exactly. Hoe it up, just not physically. You still can.
I feel like that's a new tagline.
I love that.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Hi, Mike.
I feel, like, very pressured now.
No, all oh my eyes. God. You've heard, I feel like all of you also, by the way, have been so amazing, and they've opened up in such, like, an amazing way, and I feel like you guys have been so vulnerable, and I really respect you guys for that, and I hope that you can feel the same,
well,
Mike.
Mine's not as personal, but I think it will reach out to the male crowd.
Oh, amazing.
So, woo. COVID has taken a damper on all of us and stuff like that. So now we're all getting out and going out again. But I feel like it's been neglected in the podcast.
Oh.
Does your opinion still stand true of no khakis?
Oh, my God, Mike. It's so crazy to, like, have someone in person, like, staring at me asking, like, can I not wear khakis?
No, I've ever since 2019,
wait, your jeans
look threw them all in the garbage. I have not.
I heard you.
Yeah, yeah, but now that we're out.
Fuck off.
It's like, what are we doing here?
I just feel like for maximum opportunity to get a dick wet, it's not for a woman to have to pull down a khaki. Like, we don't want to have to, like, unzip the khakis.
Yeah.
It's like, it literally kills mood. Like, we were saying, your buzzword should not be, like, bacon. Like, when I'm like, oh man, I'm so horny, and then I'm like, the cargo khaki, it's something. And listen, maybe you're gonna find, like, I don't know, like, do you have something sentimental about khakis? You love khakis.
Oh, no,
you're like,
ever since I found my shades of black, gray, and blue, and that's been it. Yeah.
Honestly, to men listening, it's nothing personal. I'm always trying to maximize, like, you getting fucked, or you having a good time, or you looking your best. And I just know that no man has ever walked into a room and I've been like, God damn. And he's been wearing fucking khakis. Yeah. Like, it's the fucking truth. It's literally the truth. And I want to stay real with it.
Mm-hmm.
Save the khakis, for the golf
Church,
course.
Church, golf. Awesome.
Boom. That wasn't that scary.
No.
Oh, my God. That was a good question.
Great question.
High-waisted bikinis are back. Khakis are still fucking out. No khakis ever.
Okay, let's see.
Let's see. Where do we start?
Well, long story short. Okay. So I met this guy on Hinge.
Okay.
I am, like, casually dating around. Met this guy on Hinge, and we texted for a little, but never met him again, had my roster going, and I was like, okay, this is getting too much, so just stopped texting him. We never met, so I was like, whatever. His profile was average. It was fine. Okay. And then me and my friend went to dinner one night, and I was like, holy shit, that guy is so fucking hot. Like, that I need to meet him. That's my man. And so then he came up and talked to us for a little, and I was like, I can't say his name. I figured out that his name was the name that I thought it was. So I was like, how the fuck do I know this person? And then he just introduced himself and then went back to his table. He's with work friends. So then we were like, okay, now we need to go to his table to keep talking.
Right.
So we went back to his table, and all of his work friends were like, do you realize that you are the one who ghosted him like a couple months ago? And I was like,
was that the Hinge fuck. Guy?
It was the Hinge guy. Didn't look anything like his profile. Well, clearly it looked similar.
Wait, but he was like so hot in person.
I think he was like a 5 out of 10 on Hinge, but like 11 out of 10 like in person. And I was like, well, that's,
what is this guy doing?
Literally, I was like, fuck me. And you could tell his vibe was off. He was like, yeah, this bitch, like, I can't talk to her. So then
you should have been like, buddy,
I know
you are not a good salesman.
I know.
Like, what I know. The fuck?
I know. So then we talked for like a week after that. Then he ghosted me. So we were like, okay, whatever. Now we're talking again. We went on 3 dates now, but we're getting to the point. This is the question I'm trying to ask. So now I like, obviously this whole time there's been like tension of like me liking him, him liking me, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Now we're like actually going on dates. But now that I actually really like him, how do you go about, like, I don't want to just fuck him. Like I've been there. I've had the whole phase. Like, I've been there.
Right.
We haven't had sex yet. We've done other things, but I am so bad at just being like, no, like, I'm not really ready to have sex.
Yeah.
Like, what? How do I casually go about, like, hooking up, but, like, not going there?
So
but without it seeming like I don't want to go. Like, I want to, but I'm just like,
you're trying to slow play it.
Yeah.
Like, like, you're not looking at this like he's just like another fuck.
Yeah.
Or like another dude. You're
yeah.
like, wait, I like literally want
yes.
to maybe make this more.
Yes, exactly.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
I think I always, with guys like that, I think like you said, you're doing other things.
Yeah.
Has he like been acting like he's like, why aren't we having sex?
No, not really. But you can like, you just feel the tension when you're like hooking up and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah,
but then
yeah.
it's like, how do you casually be like, whoa, okay, not
I think
yet.
You can, I think you can play to the relationship, and I think you can use it and you can joke about it. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to get ghosted again.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to ghost you again. Like, let's feel the mood.
That's true.
I always, like, I think that guys get insecure when you're, not that we owe them anything. Like, this is why I'm not having sex with you. But guys, when you just keep pulling away after, like, the finger's been
yeah.
in there long enough.
Yeah.
And it's like, why aren't we fucking?
Yeah.
We've done everything. But I think you have to lightly joke.
So do you say it before you start like hooking up, making out, whatever?
I sometimes do it when you're making out.
Okay.
Like
okay.
be hooking up, be on the couch,
like
be getting hot and heavy.
40,
and then when you can tell he's trying to do more,
yeah.
kind of like push him down and like lightly be laughing. But
yeah.
like, I'm just not ready for that. Like, I'm just too nervous you're going to ghost me again.
Yeah.
And make it kind of like a game.
Okay.
So then that almost can linger longer.
Yeah.
And then obviously you're probably going to want to eventually have sex
yeah.
with him if you're
oh,
in
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
But I get what you're saying. You want to like, get, like have a little
yeah.
time
yeah.
before you do so.
Mm-hmm.
I think that
yeah.
you joke at the relationship, not in an asshole emasculating way, but
yeah.
just more of like a playful like
yeah.
hold on, I don't know.
Yeah, like flirty jokey.
Yeah, like whoa,
yeah.
calm down. I don't know what's happening next week, and I don't want to get ghosted. A finger is enough, and then like go back to making out.
Yeah, yeah.
And he'll feel that you're like being playful, but also you're like leaving it open for the future, but
yeah.
you're just like being careful.
Yeah.
And then they get a little nervous because they're like, wait, what? But you're like still on top of him, and then you continue
yeah.
to make out with him.
Yeah.
So you're giving vibes, I'm into
but then
it.
He still knows.
But just chill.
Yeah.
And then a guy's gonna be like, okay, dope.
Yeah.
And if anything, then it's gonna make him like want you more.
Yeah. Love that. Thank you.
Of course. Oh my God. I love you guys. Thank you so much for coming. I'm never gonna forget this.
Wow. Okay, Daddy Gang, not only is this episode coming to an end, sadly, but the world tour, it's actually not coming to an end. Lauren's staring at me. She's like, please let it come to an end. We're putting the world tour on pause. And that is the best thing for my liver and the best thing for my relationship. I'm flying back to LA. My boyfriend's coming back to LA. I'm going to be reunited with him, Henry. I have a couple interviews in LA that I'm very excited to reveal to you. And then the next trip that is on the world tour list is either Cabo or and this is the big shebanga bang. This is the big shebanga. I think I'm getting a big group of my friends, and we will be going for my birthday in August on me on a PJ to fucking Vegas. Daddy, mother. I know, she's like, fuck, daddy motherfucking gang, I will see you fuckers next Wednesday. Again, only on Spotify. We're officially exclusive next week. Love you guys.